up, fool?
What's up, fool? She's going to have to say, yeah, man.
Why'd I have to say, yeah, man?
Because Rodrigo's not here, so you just say, yeah, man.
Oh, if I have to act like Rodrigo.
No, no, just say.
Ha! Ha! Are we on yet?
No, just say, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
All right, good.
Because your dog, he's.
We'll talk about a little bit, you know, about what happened this weekend. And
yeah,
then
yeah.
We'll bring in Brian Scalaro, who promote sure. his stuff. We'll ask him where he's from and all the ladies.
All right. the ladies.
Really good to see
you. Good to see you, fool. What's up, fool, man? What's up, fool? Right here, man, with my co-host, Fred Stoller.
I have to act like Rodrigo.
You say, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. But doesn't he scream?
No, he says... You say, yeah, man.
Oh, but like, I'll do something like, you know, he goes, how you doing? I'm all right. Ah!
Ha-ha!
Yeah, is that how he laughs?
I don't know how, man. He just laughs,
just scream. It's like screaming in your ear an inch away from it.
Only one time we did a show, and there was a guy laughing like that at all my jokes. And then when the headliner went up, and he wasn't laughing, and that guy that was laughing at the joke sitting next to me, how come you're not laughing at me, bro? What are you, his fucking laugh track or what?
You got it out.
Yeah, man, we're eating some vegan donuts. You want one? You scared?
That does not sound good.
Okay.
There's vegan with anything. They always go, oh, it's just like chocolate. No, it's not.
Nah, it's not like chocolate. It's cacao. So what's up, fool, man? Did you have a good weekend?
Are we recording? Yeah, I'm saving it, man. I'm saving it.
Yeah, we're recording, right? Are we recording?
Yeah.
I just want to say Tempe, Arizona is the place to be if you just got over a... food poisoning. It's just streets of shitty bar food, like fried whatever the hell sticks. And the only thing I would do is go to PJ Chang's for soup. And it's a college town with no bookstores, just people with guns. And so otherwise, but you made it good somehow.
There was a strip bars, but we didn't go to them, huh?
I didn't see any.
There was none. I've been there before, and I saw some crazy stuff, but not this time, man. But yeah, man, there's a lot of deep-fried food. If you like deep-fried food, deep-fried pickles, deep-fried tostadas, flautas, tacos.
Explain Arizona to me. Like, is there mountains? Is there anything picturesque, as my mother would say? What is the thing about it that would make someone want to live there? Besides getting away from Mexico and all that.
Probably because they have free dental for everybody.
Something. No, they were nice crowds. Real. Oh, yeah, your crowds. The only trouble we had was one guy.
Snuck into the green room
and was bothering
Fred Stoller.
He comes in. He looks like a Mexican a Mexican Andy Kindler, if that makes any sense. And he sits next to me, puts his arm around. Yo, man, hey. And I go, oh, I guess they allow any random comic in the green room, which they ended up doing, but they weren't so bad my last show. I was so tired, and then we had to share the green room. Then there was these guys would scream out because I guess, acted and run on Seinfeld. Yo, Seinfeld! Yo, Seinfeld! So then my last show, I'm resting before I have to do the pictures with Felipe, and this guy's banging on the thing. Seinfeld! Come out, Seinfeld! We need pictures, Seinfeld! He sounded like Pacino or something. Yeah, or Christopher Walken, you know? Yo, we got guns in here in Arizona! And so it was... I was tired.
That was funny, man. That guy was just knocking. I wonder how he knew you were in the green room. He was just knocking on the window.
I don't know how.
Come on, Seinfeld. You got to take pictures, fucking Seinfeld.
They must have an invisible sign go, bother Fred, and bang on the door. Just walk in. At least that guy knocked.
He pounded the
ATM, or what do they call? The tobacco firearm? What the hell?
Yeah, man.
Like Koresh. I thought it was going to kill me.
I ate some pretty good food. I actually found that that chain restaurant, Ike's. It's a San Francisco restaurant. It's called Ike's, and I ate there. It was pretty good, man. That's the only place, the only restaurant where you could say, you know what, can you add jalapeno poppers and onion rings to my sandwich, and they'll put it in there.
I like just bland chicken. I mean, but I don't mean... I just mean, like, I don't mean it's shitty, like, in a hospital.
My favorite color is clear.
Yeah. I just mean safe kind of chicken, but good. You know what I mean? I don't mean just like a cafeteria chicken. Just something kind of American-ish food, and I didn't find that. But I bought my mother a random Mother's Day card at CVS. I do a thing where I take the first one off, the first one I see. I can't put any effort into this, and it was $7, but I was ready at the counter. It's one of those things where you open it up, bing, 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 jackpot noises, because you won. I won the jackpot when I got you as a mom, which is not true.
That's the one you give your mom?
Yeah, because I was too late. I scanned it. I already was going to get it in 3 days late. But it makes all these bells like the jackpot went through. One time, I was so passive-aggressive. When I lived in New York, I visited her, and for Mother's Day, I got a... Do you remember those plaques? I got one that said, "Get well soon." And she didn't even go, "Why? I'm not sick." But she goes, "Oh, thank you." And she put it on a shelf like I'm retarded. So my Arizona.
So she just said, "Oh."
She went, and she always goes,
She just took it like, "Oh."
She goes, "Oh, I got your card. It was cute." She doesn't go, "You really think you won the jackpot with me?" You know, I won the jackpot for putting a bullet in my head, but otherwise, otherwise it was good. And Rodrigo, he's a good guy, but he loves to scream when he laughs.
Yeah,
I mean, and but then again, it's I had like I said, stomach poisoning, and I was trying to have like a lot of noises, so I tried to say things so he wouldn't laugh and scream in my ear, but that only backfired. How you doing? What do you have? And I'm just going to have an apple. Ah! Fred's having an apple! Ah! You know what I'm talking about? The first time I met him, I didn't know what a sweet, sweet guy he is. And he was laughing like those gangsters, you know what I mean? And Goodfellas when they're, you know, chopping someone's head off. Ha ha! His head came off, yeah. But he's the sweetest. And I tell you, some people asked me to do my Handy Manny voice for their kids on the iPhones. It's very fulfilling. So, no.
You like doing that?
I like it if you know, it makes a kid feel good. Like I did this cartoon and for 3-year-olds. And so sometimes on the iPhone, go, "Hi, I'm here. I'm scared. I'm in Phoenix. They have guns." All those.
Yeah, you did that for that guy that gave us dabs. Remember that guy that you said that did, "Hey,
did you have it?"
Oh, you did some dabs for the first time.
I never knew what dabs were. And let me tell you, it was like doing 5 edibles. It's like crack. They take out this torch, and I'm pretty new to pot, just a year. And I did it, and all of a sudden, I'm backstage in the green room with Rodrigo screaming, laughing at everything, and they're replaying the Clipper game. And I'm going, okay, I got to get to the safety of my room, but I was afraid to go out there. I just had to find the driver, and I was afraid, like, the Seinfeld Latinos would tackle me on the way out. Savile! And
get off the phone!
And Rodrigo was convinced the 19-year-old really good-looking driver we had, he's gorgeous. He looks like the guy in, what's it called, Boardwalk Empire. He's saying, "Oh, no, you just hang out at the bar, you get laid." You know, and so that's for the 19-year-old stud. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Not for me and Rodrigo. So Rodrigo, right? He was sitting there going, "Hey, I'm hanging out with a fool's wife, man." And so I just had to hope that my pass key worked. Those pass keys, sometimes you ever have to go to the bathroom so bad, and you're up there, and because it was near your credit card, it's not opening, or you got to go back down, and oh, man. So I just hid in my room. It's really weird because, you know, with edibles, if I'm tripping and blitzed, I'm in the safety of my apartment, but I'm in a hotel room. I feel like Marion Barry, you know what I mean, doing crack in a hotel. And I'm there going, my only paranoia was, okay, first I put that Seinfeld guy on Instagram. Going, "Yo, Seinfeld, man, we got guns in Arizona. You're lucky you're alive."
Oh, you put that video up, huh?
And then I got scared. My paranoia was that he'd see it, go, "You fuck, you made fun of me." So I took it down. And then I was, my only thing, my concern was, I thought that was the key. My only concern was I knew it would wear off, but I didn't know how long. So I knew I'd get arrested if I was like that staggering at the airport and you propping me up. So I said, as long as this, I go, worst case scenario, I'll pay with my own money and not the night at the hotel and my own airfare just to chill it off. But it worked out.
Well, glad you're safe, man.
Oh, man. But thank you for Philippe. Thank you for...
We have a dab right now. Are you ready?
Well, I'm glad I had the experience. I don't know if I'd do it again.
All right.
Would you do it again? Oh, you did do it again. He was doing more right there. I don't get it.
What's up, fool? What's up, fool? Philippe Esparza right here. Fresh Stoller filling in. We have a guest today, man. A guy that I met at the Laugh Factory. Very funny guy, and this guy's been on a lot of things that I've seen. Hmm. First of all, my favorite cartoon, Life and Times of Tim. And
cool.
Very funny guy, man. Brian Scalora, hey. What's up, fool? All the way from the East Coast, baby.
Sort of. Hi, man. Thanks for having me on. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, man. Hallelujah.
So dabs, it's just the hash oil, right? Dabs?
Yes, hash oil. You done that?
There was a guy, I was Richland, Washington. There was an MC.
Oh, yeah.
You've been
Jokers,
there.
Jokers, baby.
Yeah, you were there right after.
Felipe
that's right.
Knows all the guys that set him up in each city.
And that big, the big giant guy with the mohawk.
Yeah.
He comes to your room. And he,
oh, that fool that... Oh, that guy, huh?
That guy.
Can I get a guest spot? No.
Yeah. So he came into the room, and then he gave me a bunch of dabs, and then my opener got panicked and locked himself in the room. And then all these kids
from the dabs?
Yeah, yeah. And then all these kids are walking by, and these are our kids, and they see this big guy with a mohawk, and they want to talk to him. And I just go inside because I don't really want to talk to kids. I'm on the road, you know what I mean? I'm also now apparently on something called dabs, and I'd like to not talk to a group of kids. So then the guy with the mohawk comes in. He goes, are you jealous of my hair? And I go,
what?
No. He's like, well, you walked away. Were you jealous that the kids came up to me? I was like, no, dude, no, I wasn't jealous of your hair. I was like, I'm on drugs, and I'd like to not talk to children. That's kind of what that was his first guess that I was jealous of.
How long has dabs been around?
And it was called hash oil when I did it.
Yeah,
now there's a name.
Now, why do you need a blowtorch?
Because you got to heat up the bowl, so it gets hot. Then you get the long stem, a needle to hold the oil, and then you dab it.
Yeah. So some guy invented this, and it just went around.
Yeah. I think it might have been that guy.
With the mohawk.
Yeah. So, hi, thanks for having me on.
What's so thanks for being here, man.
I've done other things besides the cartoon.
Tell us, man. I know I got a long list here.
I don't care. No, but I know you like the cartoon a lot. I always wondered.
I love Life of Tender Tim. I read for the part of Horatio Sands.
He got the part.
He got the part, yeah.
Yeah, during the third season, they thought everybody was doing, there were celebrities in there. It was
got,
difficult.
I don't
and
know
the,
what happened.
Super Dave Osborne called me a fat turd.
There in was real life?
No, and there's a scene, right?
Yeah.
It was sort of like real life. There's a scene where I'm selling hot dogs or falafels, I think. And then the guy who plays Tim, Steve, is standing there. And then Super Dave Osborne was supposed to talk for a while. And they wanted me to go in there so that Super Dave Osborne had a conversation to start off from. You know what I mean? But I had no lines in his scene. I'm just a hot dog vendor. But he doesn't know that, so he thinks he's trying to improv with everybody. So he goes, who's this fat turd? Thinking I'd say something. I'm a fucking falafel vendor, so why would I talk to him? You know what I mean? But yet he called me fat turd, and I just had to take it. And then when he left the room, I just went, fat turd. And everybody started laughing because they could tell it was bothering me. But I didn't say a fucking word because he's Super Dave Osborne. But he wasn't very nice. But yet at the same time, he was trying to involve me. But it's a cartoon. How are they supposed to know I'm fat, Felipe?
I know, right?
You know what I mean? Like, he just went after the real thing. That pissed me off. What's that?
The drawing, the character
wasn't fat? No. I never play fat cartoon characters, just fat real-life characters.
Just hairy characters.
Hairy characters. Is that what you get? Well, that's what I get.
No, I get them, but I don't... I read for them, but I don't get them.
Isn't it weird the guy who's on Finding Bigfoot looks a lot like Bigfoot himself? Like, he's looking for himself the whole time. He's just a big, fat, hairy guy. Going, we can't find Bigfoot. We're looking for him because you're fucking Bigfoot, man. Anyway, thanks for having me on. Take care, guys.
So what's up? Were you from Brooklyn, New York?
I was born in Brooklyn.
We're in Brooklyn. I'm from there.
What part are you from?
Sheepshead Bay.
I'm from Bay Ridge, then Bensonhurst.
I worked
one day. Brooklyn Avenue in Boyle
Ocean Heights.
That's where you
Ocean,
were from?
Yeah.
That's awesome. What's the three Brooklyn guys?
Brooklyn's so big. There was a play, Bay Parkway or something, and I was a good humor man for one day on a bicycle, and it was kosher kids.
I was screaming, I was on a bicycle?
One day, and it was in a kosher neighborhood, and the kids would just look at me with yarmulkes like, we can't have this. They would look at me. And you're probably much younger than me, but there was E.J. Corvettes, and that's where I used to get records by the Verrazano Bridge.
That's where I was born, by the Verrazano Bridge.
Now it's a big flea market, I think.
I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm a big fan of both of you guys.
We're a big fan of you. I'm a big fan of you.
I've been a fan of yours for a very long time. I've been a fan of yours since I was watching the TV, your old college graduate joke.
Wow.
Always used to make me laugh. You go, well, I want to finish college. My mother was like, well, just finish college. Why? Because then you could say you were a college graduate. Like, I can't say it now. I'm a college gagawa. I'm a college gagawa.
Now, Felipe.
Oh, two more credits. I almost had it.
Yeah, well, he got pretty good. Yeah,
that was his joke. It was a great joke.
You should have sold shirts like that.
Sell shirts. That's not a bad idea.
They say college gagaga.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. I'm a college gagaga.
So where else did you? Where'd you live after Brooklyn?
Queens and Manhattan. Then I moved here in 2001 to do a TV show. We premiered.
Which show?
It was called Three Sisters. It was on before Frasier, and then the day we premiered, I think a week.
Wait a minute. I always had a crush on Vicki Lewis.
Yeah, Vicki Lewis.
I like redheads.
Yeah, I still talk to her. She's awesome.
Yeah.
She was the redhead on news radio.
Yeah.
And we premiered, and then 9/11 happened, and everybody stopped watching TV for like a year. So that was fun. And then some more bad stuff.
Good stuff disappeared during 9/11, man.
Yeah.
A lot of great movies, like Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Right. I saw that in the theater.
Why did that disappear? Because of 9/11?
Because people didn't go to the movies.
No.
Things to Do in Denver, I think that was before 9/11. I remember that was like 95, 96.
Could be wrong then.
Well, maybe there was another
Romeo's rattle. Bleeding then. I don't know.
Romeo's Bleeding. There was a lot of bad stuff happening in 9/11, besides all the people dying.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one of the worst things is that now I have to call cities and find marijuana before I get on the plane instead of just flying with it like I used to.
You don't fly with it anymore?
No.
Fly with what?
Anymore.
Marijuana.
I'm just kidding. No, I can't. I haven't flown with it in a long time. Flew to Seattle. Last time I flew with it, I used to put it in tinfoil.
But it'll go off.
It wasn't tinfoil. It was something else. Good thinking, though. Saran wrap, and then I tape it to that pouch above your dick. You know, if you're fat, you got a little pouch.
Ralphie May style.
Right. Not that big, not a huge pouch, but I had like a decent-sized, normal person-sized pouch with a little extra padding.
I'm always paranoid, man. Like, cause I got the face of somebody that's going to bring in something anyway.
You do look like that.
Yahoo. That's my friend's cat. We got teased because coming home, they said you could go in the line where you don't have to take your shoes off. Then we had to take our shoes off. So I was so psyched to not take my shoes off.
You were talking about pre-check.
You're going to pre-check.
But I mean, if pre-check exists, why don't
everybody, huh?
Well, I don't understand. Why?
It's sort of like,
what the hell is the purpose?
They're hoping they get lucky, hoping they're guessing. Like, you guys will not.
Exactly.
Cost $100
bucks. We'll protect you unless you pay $100. Yeah. Then.
Oh, wait. Oh, so the pre-check is for more money. You don't have to take the shoes off.
Isn't that kind of, that defeats the whole purpose of checking.
The terrorists, they're going, all right, let's blow up the plane with our shoes. Oh, well, only if we had another $100,
exactly,
we could pre-check.
Yeah.
Well, damn it, now we can't blow it up with our shoes.
That's what I was saying. It's unbelievable. It's rude. It doesn't make any sense. A lot of this logic.
Isn't it prejudice? Because sometimes you pay more money for more space now. And
well, that's, you know, if I you could bring a bomb on the plane if you pay $100. I think we can pass that. I hate flying.
Oh, me too. Arizona.
You go with them everywhere? No.
Arizona at least was a short flight, but it's...
You guys flew.
Yeah.
I'm driving. I'm in Scottsdale and this weekend, and I'm fucking driving. And I'll tell you, you were talking about what's good about Arizona. Here's one thing I don't understand. Why they don't seem to follow the same rules as everybody else in regards to time zones.
Yes.
All of a sudden, they'll be like, you think you have an hour to get to the show, and they're like, nah, we just don't do that here. What do you mean don't do that here?
What are you talking about?
They don't have a time zone thing.
They don't change their time.
Yeah.
They don't follow daylight savings.
The whole world.
We were there at a different time? I got confused.
No, we're the same time.
It's not there. It didn't change because we changed. they're the same again. They're the same as us because we change. But when next time we change, they'll be different than us.
Like next time we go there, if we'll leave there at 1, and when we get there, it'll still be 2.
Oh, so they're in the same time zone, but they don't do daylight savings.
They don't do that. And that kind of blows my mind that they refuse to accept that
something
as the rest of the
time,
world.
Which you think is nature, but I guess it's not.
And it's their fries.
They made a deal with the government. Listen, man, we'll give you guys Martin Luther King birthday and Cesar Chavez a holiday, but we ain't fucking with the time zone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Well, thanks for having me on.
What's up, fool?
Hi. You call everybody fool?
Everybody, man. Parents. You say what's up, fool? My mom, too. What's up, fool, yeah?
Parents-in-law, you call them fools? Really?
Nah.
No, you don't do that, man.
Nah, I don't. I don't tell my mom what's up, fool, because she don't know what's up, man. She don't know what's up, shit. She don't deserve no what's up, fool. So what's up, man? You were on Stacked with Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, I did a show with Pam Anderson.
Elon Gold,
2 years. Christopher Lloyd was on the show. Speaking of things to do with Denver when you're dead, he was in that. I worked with him for 2 years. That was
what was that like to be on a television show, man? Because something I don't know what's it like. Do you try to like out act somebody? Okay, I'm just out act this motherfucker. He'll get rub off. I'll get more lines.
No, but some people are like that. And then
I was like on Sullivan, man. I felt like there were too many comedians on that show fighting for time.
I don't know.
Jesus Trejo will pass by with a broom every once in a while. For real, man, he's right there painting, you know, next to Bill Doyle.
Brian Doyle Murray.
And he's right there turning around trying to get a little.
No, I don't want to. Some shows are like very, I can tell you this.
Well, I wrote the book.
Right.
On the guest star life. I've never been a regular, but some of them, they're cool to the guest star guys, and some of them
are not,
and yeah, so.
How was the Raymond when you played Raymond's cousin?
Cousin?
That was a good part.
Thank you. That was a cool show, except I've talked about this, so just repeating myself, but you feel left out as the guest star because they're talking about what they're going to wear to the Emmys, their new houses.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm only making 300. Brad Garrett was bitching. He's only making 300,000 an episode. Ray's making 2, and I'm there making whatever, 4,000, which is cool. and right in front of you, and they're giving out plasma TVs. Hey, everyone, welcome back.
You got sneakers in your pockets.
You know, and so. Some of them, you feel part of it, but that was a big, big hit. But you're walking on eggshells with that one. They're very self-important. So some of the ones I had the most fun on, no one watched, but it was a loose atmosphere.
When I was a regular on things, I was a great life. And then to go from a regular on things to a guest
auditioning.
To go back to auditioning and go back to recurrings and guest roles, it's a very different, difficult transition. So like, I used to be able to say anything I wanted to on the set. Now I can't.
Well, yeah.
Say
again,
shit.
You know, my book. It's called Maybe We'll Have You Back.
I'll check that out.
And I would talk about
And they didn't.
And how,
they
I would talk about
never.
How when you're a guest, you can't flub a line and crack up.
Yeah,
you got it. You can't go ha ha. You ever see the gag reel where they crack up and high fiving?
Is that with the guest star, Brian?
No.
No.
No. I laughed on when I was on Dexter, I laughed.
Oh, you were on Dexter?
I think I was like, you try to take this.
What did you do on the Dexter?
Season 2, the episode where they catch Dokes and they lock him in a cage. Well, he locks him in a cage.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
I'm an FBI agent who takes over his lab. So I have like 4 scenes with Dexter where I'm like, hey, give us your computer. And then I kick him out of the room because he's annoying me purposely. And then at the end, I'm like, hey, we were going after the black guy. And he's like, great, watch the centrifuge for 24 hours. And
he was Dexter up. A cool guy to work with?
Yeah, he was. When he's there, the first week, he was very much in character.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, he looked like he looked at you like he was thinking about dissecting
killing
you.
Killing you, yeah.
Yeah. And then, at the end of the week, he was all relaxed and in a better mood. And
plus, he was going
it was
through,
very nice.
He was going through cancer
right.
And a divorce.
But I will say this, I was eating lunch I was shooting something else there, like a month later, and he walked by, recognized me, and waved and came over and talked to me. That's pretty cool for a guy.
Yeah,
who's
no, there's some really cool down-to-earth people, and there's some that...
Some shows were a lot of fun. Grey's Anatomy, they were tremendous, really nice to me. They were all happy and successful, but not like giving each other TVs and going to the Emmys, but they were just happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then some shows where things aren't going good, like the show you mentioned, it's a little tense.
Well, also, when you work with people that, like you said, Grey's Anatomy, that have, like, I knew Patrick Dempsey, and he was so happy later in his career, while he's still young, to have that. it's great when you're working with people who are so thankful and appreciative, which is the same thing as thankful. And you know what I mean?
Right.
And just as opposed, yeah. So
Yeah. It was fun. I liked being a regular much more. It was very exciting.
And better money?
Better money and very exciting to, are you seriously interested?
Well, yeah,
man. I'm touching you?
I don't mind.
Okay. Because I'm touching you right now. They can't tell.
I don't mind, man.
But it's like our knuckles are touching.
I don't mind. Cause you got that voice.
How you doing? You know, I had this voice when I was a kid. I used to call.
I know, man. I was gonna just mention, man. You got that like that radio voice. Like,
thank you.
This is your Uncle Joe Benson, and we're gonna do
5.5.
And
if you or anyone in your family suffers from faulty transvaginal mesh, then please stop talking about it because it's disgusting, and we don't understand what you're talking about.
Anyway. Sylvia, you host. How did you when you were in high school? How did you come up with like, hey, man, I'm gonna host my own radio show?
What? I didn't do that. How come I didn't do that?
No, you
oh, college.
In high school.
No, I'm sorry. You looked at my fucking site.
Yeah, man.
I had a college radio show.
Because I was thinking right now, you have
what college did you go to?
New Paltz, upstate New York.
Did you sell stuff on like you got the radio voice, like, man?
I've always had the voice. I do the voiceover for the Louis show.
Yeah, we got some hookers out here right now.
You know the Louis show?
Yeah.
On FX, I do that voice. Like, coming up next on Louis, the following program is rated TV MLA.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. What did that pay? Good?
it doesn't pay great, but it pays good. I can't complain. The show saved my ass, you know. And Louis now knows my name, which is very exciting.
Brian Scolaro.
He's like, hey. But, you know, I used to have this voice as a kid, so I'd call my friends to hang out, and their parents would get concerned. Like, who is this? It's Brian. What do you want with, who are you looking for? Bobby. Can you put Bobby on the phone? Send out your son. I want to play with your son. We'll go to the park. Tell him to bring his balls. Does he have extra balls to bring?
Your son's a great catcher, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you want to be an actor first, or did you just want to be a fucking comedian?
That's a good question. I always wanted to be an actor more.
Yeah.
When I grew up, I was watching Marx Brothers, Laurel Hardy, and Abbott Costello.
Duck
and I was
Soup.
Like, I want to do the Duck Soup. Said, I want to do that really badly. Tim Conway used to kill me as a kid. Did you ever watch Tim Conway in the Carl Burnett Show? He used to kill me.
When he did that slow walking?
Yeah, and Bugs Bunny. I used to love I met Bugs Bunny the other day. He was very nice.
Yeah?
I really want
him. Doc?
You know, he's buried right over there. Mel Blanc. And on his tombstone, it says, that's all, folks. Isn't that interesting?
That's all, folks.
Yeah. And the best gravestone I've ever seen is Jack Lemmon. It just says, Jack Lemmon in. And then there's his grave. Isn't that kind of funny?
My dad said, what's up?
Fool.
Fool. Yeah, but I see the Chavez Memorial in Riverside. You know, a little plaque. I donated for the plaque.
That's nice.
And they didn't want me to put what's up, fool, because they thought it was offensive.
Well. Well, they probably because there's real fools out there, you know what I mean. But like, do they think it was offensive? And like, and two stupid people would be offended by it.
Yeah, what's up, fools? It's a nah, man. That sounds too harsh.
Well, the first time you called me fool, I was like, "What the fuck is he talking about?" And then you called everybody a fool, and I was like, "Yeah, all right, now you forgive him."
Some people don't get it at first, man. They're idiots. Like, what's up, fool?
Well, you're clearly joking.
Yeah, man.
Oh, it's an endearment.
Yeah. How's things?
I'm sorry.
No, I don't know what to talk about.
I was going
to
say, when Rodrigo does it, it sounds different. I got to get off.
Sounds like, fuck you.
I don't think you like Rodrigo.
He's the sweetest guy. No, he is.
Do you guys all work together?
Oh, we just work together. That's what we're talking about.
We're together. Oops. We're together.
That's all those stories about the guy going Seinfeld and banging on the door.
Is funny that they thought, like, all, you know, white guys were the same. That you were
Well, I used to work in Coney Island on a haunted house.
Right.
And the Puerto Rican would call me Weinberg. Yo, Weinberg.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So racist, but yet, you know.
Makes sense. Call me Weinberg.
Weinberg.
That's a lot of fat stuff.
All right. Schnauzer.
Schnauzer.
So what's up, fool, man?
Hey.
When did you start doing stand-up, man?
1995 in New York City. I just, like, well, the funny thing, the radio show has to do with that. In 1992, I did a show opening for a hypnotist in my college, and I tanked. It was awful. I mean, I was so bad. I just walked off stage after 5 minutes, and I was like, I'm going to come back. And so after like 3 days of mourning, I just was like, I'm going to get a radio show. I'm going to get a TV show at the college, and then I did. And then I didn't pay for anything in town ever again. And then I started doing stand-up in the city.
So you should play the Wolfman Jack story.
Which one is that?
That DJ Wolfman Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Wolfman Jack here at all?
Did he have throat cancer?
I don't know what he had, man.
Was he really a Wolfman?
I think so, man. You know what's funny about the Wolfman? Wolfman Jack? That motherfucker, man, and they asked him, man, why didn't you come up with a Wolfman Jack? He goes, one day I was walking in the forest and this old lady came up to me and said, you're going to be the Wolfman.
What? That's weird.
Yeah, man. I think she was just copying something from the movies.
You know what's very interesting about the Wolfman? You ever see the Wolfman? He doesn't eat people. He just chokes them. He's got claws and teeth, but he just runs over people and just chokes them.
That's the old 1950 Wolfman, right?
Yeah, 1950 Lawrence Talbot.
That's one he had like a smooth hair back, like a greaser.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny, like in the 1950, like those scary, the Wolfman, they weren't that fucking scary. Like Michael Landon, I was a teenage werewolf.
Right.
But then you go to American Werewolf in London, now we're talking a fucking werewolf, man.
That's a great movie.
It is. Yeah. David Norton.
Dude, I saw this one, it's called Wolf Cop. On fucking Netflix. Oh my fucking God.
Good or bad.
That was probably the worst formation of a man turning into a fucking werewolf. Like they showed his penis explode and turn into a wolf penis.
They showed his penis explode.
And turn it, you know when you're turning into the wolf man?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and your body ripping and you turn into a wolf. Well, they showed his regular sized penis rip and turn into a wolf penis.
Jesus Christ.
And he's going, yahoo! Yahoo!
Ow.
Yahoo!
That's awful.
So what you got going on, man, lately?
I just did Conan 2 months ago.
You're a bad motherfucker, man.
I'm all right.
What's the secret?
There's a lot
of comments trying to get on.
I'm unsinkable. I mean, I'm never going to succeed, but I'm unsinkable.
But you get the show, though.
I'm like Molly Brown.
Molly Brown, you know, stick up on Molly Brown.
You know what I'm talking about?
You're like a sponge, bro.
Yeah.
You just soak it all in.
I won't go down. I'll get kicked. I'll have no money. Today, I wiped my ass with coffee filters, and all I was thinking was, I used to be on TV. Now my
That's
ass
not true.
Was never on TV. You're right.
No,
that's
right.
But now, I did wipe my ass with coffee filters.
Don't look at me
like that.
I've done that before.
We don't have
Seinfeld money. No, you got the Louis animation money. What are you talking?
Yeah, well, you know, throwing a drug habit changes things.
You got those Laugh Factory checks coming in every week.
every 3 weeks. Yeah, things are good.
I did the the only way I do the Laugh Factory is Dom Herrera had me do his Tuesday show.
Yeah, I love
and you get $20, but then I didn't. I don't go there, so I try to get my check the next time Dom had me back, which is 6 months later.
Right.
And if it's more than 6 months, they rip up the check.
They set it on fire.
I got there one time, man, to pick up my check, and I knew what time they were going to send them down, and they were barely cutting them.
Yeah.
So I know slice exactly. Mine up, please.
Yeah. I've been there.
And I used to grab my check, and I used to see, like, Sean Wayans, you know, Damon Wayans, Harlan Williams.
And they don't touch their checks.
Fuck
no.
And I'm like, there's like a shitload of check for these guys.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, I hope one day I could never be like that because I'm going to grab every fucking check from this place.
Yeah, yeah. I realize when I go to the Comedy Store, Eliza Schlesinger has all these big checks, these huge checks just sitting there. So I'm thinking that when I form a corporation, I'm just going to call it Eliza Schlesinger. Pick up her checks. You got a good idea?
That's a good idea, man.
Thank you.
You did a store, too?
Yeah, the store, the Improv, and the Laugh Factory.
You got them all.
I'm around. I've been around. Just, you know, it's interesting. But I have a new album out, and I just started this podcast on All Things Comedy alongside you. And that's why I came on here to promote
the
podcast.
What's it called?
It's called This Is My Podcast. If you go to the All Things Comedy site, it's a picture of me eating sliced pizza. Or I'm on iTunes under This Is My Podcast.
Brian Scalaro, This Is My Podcast.
And it's very different than what you guys do and whatever
else. It's a variety show here.
It's sketches and a lot of improv and this all. Like, I have a monkey who lives next door, and he knocks on my door, and he comes in and yells at me, and I have arguments with the monkey, and then he leaves. It's pretty funny, I think.
So you brought back your old
That's what it is.
The old radio show.
It's the college radio show kind of brought back to life. And I used to have all these fans in the neighboring high schools in college. Well, they used to listen to my radio show. And now they're still listening to this show. and they make requests, and I throw in old characters.
Did you have character, old character that you did back then?
Yeah, we had a guy who just called. His name was Feliz Navidad. He was this guy who always wanted sandwiches. He used to call up people looking for sandwiches. We had the Alzheimer's Wheel of Fortune, and that was kind of fun. Like, I'll take a G, please. You've already guessed the G. Oh, I'm sorry. G, please. Yes, well, there's no more G's. And then one guy keeps spinning the wheel. I'll have the couch for $200, and for $200, I'll take the couch. Oh, and how about the couch for $200? Well, that leaves you with $200. Oh, okay, I'll take the couch then. A lot of stuff.
Were you a fan of Dr. Demento?
I didn't hear him till college. Somebody gave me a tape of his. But did you like that stuff?
Oh, yeah, man.
Song parodies. Of Weird Al Yankovic came on the scene. That was very exciting. Yeah. Gotta admit.
Cosby.
80s. And Cosby, you know.
George Carlin bits.
Those were my two favorite comics. What made you want to start stand-up? Who was the comic that, you know?
I guess a lot of people, but my first comedy album I listened to was Bill Cosby.
Yeah, which one?
My brother Russell,
yeah.
Which I sleep with.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard it the one night, and I fucking memorized that
it's
shit.
It's a good one. Yeah.
And I changed it out to my brother Raul, who I hate.
Yeah.
You know? And I memorized it, and then I heard Richard Pryor, the nigga crazy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Then Eddie Murphy, Delirious.
Okay.
On the way home, and I said, yeah, man, there's something here. And I memorized them.
That's awesome. Yeah, Delirious was a good one.
Yeah.
Mine was Bill Cosby, Why Is There Air, and George Carlin, Playing With Your Head. Those, and himself, when himself came out on HBO, and Playing With Your Head was right after it, too, the George Carlin special. It was those. I think those were what
And I think I bought the Billy Martin... The Steve Martin.
Yeah, I was going to say, Billy Martin was the coach of the Yankees.
The Billy Martin versus Reggie Jackson, 19th.
Yeah, he was great.
I bought the Steve Martin album, and I didn't get it, man. But I did buy it.
That's why you don't like white comics?
It was $2, and it was at the Sears outlet.
Which album? You didn't get it?
The one, I'm a wild and crazy guy.
The one where he's outside?
The one that has like an arrow.
Yeah, the one with him. Yeah. You didn't get it. Well, because I didn't get Python when I was younger either.
Oh, I still don't get it. I don't want to get it, man.
You don't want to get Monty Python? Dude, you're so silly. You know? And it's like, it's right up your alley. Because you're so silly. You're very
Monty
silly.
Monty Python. What do you think, Fred? Monty Python?
I like Monty Python.
Yeah, it's not a white thing, man. It's not a white thing. Don't go there. I'm just saying it's very silly. My manager is white, and he hates Monty Python. He goes, I don't understand.
My wife is white. She hates Monty Python.
But you got similar interests.
I like Cheech and Chong in high school, that stuff.
Yeah.
Cheech
and Chong.
Dave's not
I like
here.
Second City.
My manager doesn't understand Python. He doesn't understand why they're stupid. He goes, what's the reason for that character being stupid? And I go, that's what's funny about it. It's just somebody who's
Is Monty Python kind of like Princess Bride?
Princess Bride is more acceptable, I guess, for everybody.
But when you think
it's one of the best
movies
of all time, Princess Bride.
But the guy from Monty Python, is he in Princess Bride?
No. The guy, Peter Cook, the marriage guy, the wedding? Yeah. That's Peter Cook from Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. They were in Beyond the Fringe, which was the inspiration for Monty Python, also the Goon Show was there too.
If somebody some of my listeners out there who never heard of fucking Monty Python in their fucking life, they're thinking, what the fuck is a Python, bro?
All you gotta do.
What does he start off with? The Holy Grail or
I say
heavy?
They get a couple of dabs and watch the Holy Grail. America is bigger than the whole. America likes Holy Grail more.
Okay.
And then when you get to another level, where you appreciate the humor you watch.
You know, I like the TV show and the albums more than the movies.
Yeah, Life and the album, the TV show.
Life of Brian.
TV show Life of Brian is big in England. The TV show is fantastic. You get yourself the movie,
PBS
and now
show.
For something completely different, which is the best of the TV show, just reenacted. Get stoned and watch it now for something completely different. That's a good introduction to Monty Python.
Yeah, the sketches.
Yeah. You can just stop it every half hour. You don't got to watch it entire. I'm telling you, it's fucking funny. There's a skit where a guy's trying to teach people to defend themselves with. This is how you fight back against a guy armed with a banana.
How?
And you disarm him and then you eat the banana. You know, you take it and eat the banana. And the guy's like, come on, can't we learn how to defend against people with sticks and guns? No. He goes, attack me with these strawberries. Like, he just keeps.
I guess I gotta get me dabbed out.
Man, maybe you won't like it because you didn't think that was funny. That's so funny to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw my own Monty Python, man. Monte Carlo.
You know, maybe if this I'm saying something stupid, but people like Monty Python or Woody Allen, if they were trying to make it today, they wouldn't, but they were original back there. So maybe it's not hysterical to people now, but it was a trailblazer.
I saw the Holy Grail at the Archstone, and there was a nice, cute little usher girl. And she was like, "I don't get it. It's just stupid." And I was like, "Yeah,
if it's stupid, man, I might like it."
There was a joke where one of them goes, "Hi, I forgot his name. Hi, I'm Bounder of Adventure. I'm smoked too much."
He goes, you better cut down a little bit.
He goes, "I'm sorry, excuse me. You better cut down." He goes, "I get you. People make fun of your name all the time." He goes, "No, never noticed it before."
He is stupid.
So stupid. His name smoked too much.
And then in the skit, the guy just keeps talking, and he won't stop.
Right.
And so the whole skit just goes, "What the fuck? This guy won't stop talking." So they literally carry him out of the room, and he's still talking. And then he's running around the building still talking. It's very funny.
The guy
just won't stop talking. And they can't get it. They're like, "Shut up! Shut up!" The whole skit just stops.
Was that the one where this is being hit on the head lessons?
No, the argument. That's the argument.
The argument. Yeah, there's one where there's... This is being hit on the... You know, he wants to complain. He goes, "I mean, no, this is... Ow! Do it again! Ow!"
Yeah, it's very funny.
I never felt so Mexican in my life.
Yeah.
I gotta get into this, man. Lisa? No? All right.
Do Mexicans you don't like have to, man. Silicon Valley, that show? It doesn't...
No, we all... No, man. It all depends, man.
So it was Delirious for you and Richard Pryor. And Russell.
Russell.
Yeah. It's a good one. What do you think?
I used to watch sketch comedy as a kid, but they were like Sha-na-na. See, that's my sketch
comedy.
My
father showed us Sha-na-na, too. Did you ever see the footage from Woodstock where Sha-na-na appeared at Woodstock and the crowd rioted? Sha-na-na's before.
I didn't know. When I found out about Woodstock and all that, and I saw, and I was an older kid, I said, "Hey, man, why is Sha-na-na at Woodstock?"
Yeah.
Was everybody thinking the same thing back then? Fred, were you thinking that thing during Woodstock? Did you go?
I didn't go to Woodstock. But I didn't, I didn't really
I was grounded.
Think it through, yeah. I was too young. I didn't think it through that why was Sha-na-na at Woodstock.
No. Good night, sweetheart.
Yeah, they had that sketch
time
show.
To go.
I heard my friend Heath Heitch, a good guy, does cruises, that Bowser... does cruises, and he's like 65, and he makes the muscle that thing.
Yeah, and he was selling CDs for a while.
I saw him when, I think he was doing like a commercial one time, and he came out, and he had the flabby ass Hulk Hogan arm, real flabby.
Poor Bowser.
And he still had like a tight ass tank top.
He opens for people.
And he had like black hair, and he looked like the Dice Man, kind of.
Yeah. They did. I've seen him on TV.
He opened his mouth to do the Bowser thing, and his dentures came off. No, but no.
That's not true.
That didn't come off. But I used to love Sha-na-na. They were in Greece, baby.
They were in Greece. Yeah, you like Sha-na-na. I like that about you.
You know, because when I was a kid, I would watch stuff that my dad liked, you know. So we would come home late at night from a party, and my dad would make us watch Hee Haw.
Yeah.
And my dad did not understand what the fuck they're saying, but he likes white titties and tight white booties.
Interesting.
So we're watching Hee Haw, but I understand the jokes, especially when they come out of the hay and do a little stupid one-liner.
You know, even as a white person, I never watched Hee Haw, and I think that makes you more white than us.
I fucking love Hee Haw. My dad loved Hee Haw. If I would tell you the type of movie that my father likes, you'd be like, "Well, shut up." My dad's favorite movie is Overboard with Kurt Russell.
It's not a bad movie.
My dad loves that movie.
It's a good movie. Goldie Hawn looks fucking
great. You know
why?
Because he's a carpenter.
That's why he likes it. That's so weird, because he was a carpenter in the movie.
My dad loves that movie. He loves Vacation.
It's a good movie.
My dad's favorite scene on Vacation is when he's driving and he sees that supermodel in that car.
Billy Joel's ex-wife.
Yeah, my dad loves that part, man.
Yeah. It's a good scene. Your dad likes
I think just my dad just liked being on the road, thinking about himself and white chicks, or just being lonely.
Yeah. Interesting. So was your mother around, or did he just...
Yeah, she was around.
Interesting.
Cleaning, but, you know, somewhere. Yeah. Somewhere on the other side of the room, man.
My mother never liked Vacation because she always hated the fact that Chevy Chase was looking at another woman when he was married. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She didn't like that scene.
Maybe my mom didn't like that part either, but I didn't notice. She told me my dad would laugh.
Yeah, I didn't notice it.
He'll make me look.
Look at the tits. He'd say, "Look at the white titty."
No, he goes, "Look at it. Look at it. He's so funny, flirty. He's funny. And then in Overboard.
Like, let's watch Yeehaw.
And then Overboard, he'll watch Overboard, and my dad's friends will be there, and my dad will translate what happened. No. Look. He's going to fucking convince her to clean everything and make her do everything. You know?
He just tells her the plot line.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, everything that my mom does already, right? But she didn't get bumped in the head to do it. So what's up, man?
Hi. That's funny.
You're on a show now? You're working on a show?
No. I have the podcast, and I just have an album out on iTunes called Brian Scalaro Live at the Comedy Castle, and Brian Scalaro sneezes, farts, and orgasms.
So you encourage Michael Kramer to do comedy again?
It's just so interesting. What you have? Did you guys listen to another podcast?
I got it all, bro. You know me, dog.
The interesting.
I come here with weapons, bro.
It's very interesting.
I don't come here to other podcasts and just go, oh, we're going to ramble for about an hour.
Well, in 2005.
Could we have the guy here that convinced Kramer to go apologize after it happened? Oh. Sully McCullough was here.
Sully McCullough told him to go apologize. Oh, Sully was there that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot Sully was there that night.
Were you there that night?
Pretty sure he would have figured out to apologize anyway. Well, this is the story.
He would have figured it out.
In 2005. I'm flying from New York to L.A. on JetBlue. I don't mean to brag, but that's what was happening.
JetBlue the shit back then.
Yeah, but back then it was the shit. I was aisle, and then this couple comes in. I was on the aisle.
Stretched out like a soldier.
Now I sit in the window because I don't want to talk to anybody. So this couple comes in. The guy sits in the middle. The girl sits on the window. Not on the window. She didn't say we would have crashed. She sat in the chair by the window. Got it? So we're flying to L.A. This is right before I booked Stack with Pam Anderson. So I was like, I'm going to get a pilot. I'm going to get a show. I swear this is the year for me. And we're flying. Then I realized the guy sitting next to me is Michael Richards. So I'm like, all right. So I just leave him alone. Because, I'm guessing he wanted to be left alone. 6-hour flight. So we start. Eventually, the Sri Lanka flood's going on TV. And he points to it and he goes, isn't that horrible? And I'm like, yeah. And we talk about it for a while. I tell him we know, so we have mutual friends. And he was very nice. He was extremely nice. And so then he was like, what do you do? I was like, I act and I'm a comedian. He goes, I can never do that. I was like, nah, you should do it. You should do it. I was like, I saw you host a young comedian special a long time ago. He goes, yeah, but I didn't really do stand-up. I was like, yeah, but I was like, if you're looking for something to do, why not do that? And there's a club called The Laugh Factory. You go down there. You tell them that you want your name not on the list so you could practice with a big crowd. And he was like, okay. So I cut to a month later, I got the part, I'm flying back, and on the same TV, on the JetBlue, comes up Michael Richards explodes on Laugh Factory stage, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. And I got the TV show, so I always considered meeting him to be like a sign that things were going to go well. And so in one flight, my career started and his career ended in one flight. Isn't that interesting? But he couldn't have been any more nice to me, and I do want to say that. And I'm sure you know where you worked with him. That I think he just got flustered because crowd work is difficult, and I think that from what I know about him, whenever he felt cornered, he would say something really awful to like draw attention away from the thing that was really going on. So I think that was just his reflex, and it just happened to be a racist one. But I don't think from what I can see, I don't know him well enough, but I'm sure there was no racism in him. I thought it was just crowd work gone very bad. Because he panicked, because that's a skill that you have to develop over years. And I consider the whole thing my fault.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. He's a very nice guy. I think it was my fault.
Damn.
Fred agrees, and Fred worked with him.
So yeah, yeah.
He agrees it's my fault.
You know, Jimmy Kimmel said it's not a racist, he's crazy. It almost seemed like he was trying to do Andy Kaufman performance art.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because the very next line he says, that's that horrible language we're all used to hearing, right? Like he wanted to start a bit. He was trying to start a bit that he didn't have written.
Yeah.
You know, and it just happened to be really bad timing.
I don't know if things could really ruin a career unless you murder someone, because people love celebrities. And he tried another show. It didn't go with Kirstie Alley.
Well, that show, they just cast some things wrong. He's like laid low for a while. You know?
Yeah,
they didn't need that.
I had lunch with Paul Rubin, Pee Wee Herman, many years ago.
Is that behind you?
He sort of self-exiled himself even before he had that masturbation arrest. So I think, you know what I mean? I think even when that happened with Michael Richards, I thought he's got nothing better to do than do the Laugh Factory. Yeah. So that was sort of his choice in a way to kind of go away, because he could have done like Monk and, you know,
TV
movies.
Like, I told him, you can go there and practice. I think guys want that creative outlet and attention.
And that's when these, just bad timing when these iPhones
These
started.
iPhones came out, and now whenever I see a phone come out, I don't fucking say shit. I just go, you taping me? That's interesting. Does anybody work here? And I just, you know.
I hate that.
Yeah, I know. It's awful.
You know, I did a show last Monday. I did a show with Josh Adam Myers. I don't know if you know him. I think it's a good show. It's called the Goddamn Comedy Jam, and they have comedians do an 8-minute set, and they have a live band, and you get to play your favorite rock song with the band after your set, and there are 5 comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And the piano guy was the piano guy from the Comedy Store. I don't know.
Oh, Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff was playing piano, so I got to do Light My Fire.
Okay.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar. Yeah, so I did that. And so I'm glad that, you know, that I don't do so many shows here in L.A. that people don't like, they don't get excited to see Felipe Esparza.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I do a headline, people fucking bring out the phones. So long story short, Hannibal Buress, you know, he went up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
All the phones came off.
Right.
All of a sudden. Then it just took away the whole vibe, you know, the whole greatness of the show that we were watching.
Yeah.
Nobody was taking their cell phones till he got on.
Right.
So now everybody's taping his whole act.
Ugh.
He mentions it. So he did what I would have done. He went back to it, did his own material.
Good.
So he couldn't work no more. But he was killing it. So I get annoyed by it. I know that Russell Peters, he has security guards now.
Interesting. So that's good advice. So when somebody starts taping you, do your old stuff.
Yeah, I just go to my old stuff.
Hmm. So yelling at them and saying the N-word doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work, man. Especially they're like,
if the Mexican doesn't work. Especially.
It doesn't work at all, man. They get pissed off. Like I know that Russell Peters has his security with those little laser beams.
Mm-hmm.
And they point at the crowd, hey, turn that phone off.
Yeah.
Or they make them delete everything.
Yeah. Interesting. Make them delete everything.
Yeah.
Like stand there, like, go ahead.
Yeah, stand there.
They strong arm them into deleting it.
I'm going to be like the Mexican cartel. I'm going to just walk into a club, have my goons pass out bags, take everybody's cell phones away, enjoy the show. And at the end of the show,
what I'm going to do? I'm
give it back.
Did you ever see, what's it called? The movie.
Passenger 57.
Yeah, that's it. Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
When they have the thing called the pinch. And they just set it out and all the electronic stuff dies. Just after you're set, just press the button and go, whack, and erase everybody's fucking phones. It's a reasonable idea, guys. I don't know why you're
on board. Can you do
that? Yes.
I would love to have that.
Oh, but you have to steal it. You ever see Ocean's 11?
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
The original one or the?
No, the second one. Bernie
Mac. That's stupid. The old one didn't have phones.
It's true, yeah. There was no pinch in the first
one. Do people do that a lot of your shows? They start recording you?
Sometimes. Yeah.
What do? Do you get pissed off?
I don't get pissed off anymore. Ever since the Michael Rich thing, I don't get pissed off anymore on stage. I just kind of like make reference to it and look for help in the room. And if nobody helps me, I kind of just like deal with the guy. And I've recently in San Diego, I just had to give up. Nobody was helping me. And I just had to keep doing jokes because I had nothing I could do. This guy would not stop recording. What was I supposed to do? Walk off stage and piss off 300 people?
Man, I saw a woman at my show. She was sitting in the third row.
Right.
Man, I saw her get her big old shot, her big improv glass.
Okay.
Stack them right next to each other.
Right.
And then put her phone perfectly on it.
Oh, Jesus.
So she could record me while she sat there and watched the show.
What the fuck?
And I wanted to tell her, what the fuck you doing, you fucking bitch? You already paid $20. I'm giving you a comedy show. You know, the people are serving you food. Now you're going to just steal the show and put it on Instagram for what? So you can get 30 likes? Who the fuck are you, bitch? You don't deserve 30 likes.
So what happened?
No, I just
start crying and leave.
I go there. I said, you want to record something? And I put my dick out, man. And I didn't. I wanted to.
You got to against the law.
Yeah, man, I don't know what to do, man. But I know that it bothers a lot of other comics, like especially Dave Chappelle. He can't work out new material anywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he can't. But every time I see him, he's doing new stuff. Everybody's pulling out phones. We just have to invent. The game's just changing completely, so I don't know what's going to happen to our job. Everything, acting's gone.
Like when
reality shows are scripted, so now the actors are gone. So what? I mean, you got everything's changing. What's going to happen to our
reality
job?
Show?
Right. We have to do just stand up in our living room. Like on camera, we're going to be just podcasting.
Work the Alzheimer's patients.
Right.
Let that stand-up comedian, she did her one-hour special in front of her mom and dad in her living room.
And she's great now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Maria Bamford?
Maria Bamford, yeah.
She really released a special?
Yeah, did her one-hour special.
That's hilarious.
And then that's it. I mean, you got to do something different,
so
man.
Clever.
You
got
to just, you know what? You can't be waiting for people to tell you, because I'm pretty sure she would have... If she, nobody would have went up to her, Maria Bamford, and said, "You know, how, I got an idea for you, Maria."
Yeah,
I talked to all these agents.
Yeah,
we got $1 million. We're gonna pull for this. You, in your house,
with your mom and
with
dad.
Your mom and dad, watching in the living room.
It's gonna be one of the. It's gonna be great. It's a great idea. You know, I mean, I'm jealous of it. That's how good an idea is.
I'm thinking, you know, of doing this. Anybody wants to think about a good 1 hour special? Having everybody just come in and record the whole hour special on their phone.
And release an hour special.
And then release.
And
you guys release it yourselves. You guys do the marketing for me.
Right.
You put it out there. Make sure, here's the background. Just take it out.
I don't think we should give that idea out there, man.
And grow.
And find an accountant and pay you. I'm sure you can rely on them. They seem like safe people, trustworthy people.
Just take it out there, people. You're our special. There'll be a horrible special. There'll be every different angles. There'll be one with just hair.
One with just white.
Yeah, one with just bulge. I hate when they record me, man. Especially when I'm at the Laugh Factory on fucking Thanksgiving and I'm bombing.
Yeah, that's when the cameras come out.
Oh, they come out.
They want you to bomb.
And then I'm out there, you know, and I'm telling the audience, okay, those you guys are recording, make sure you write down that today is Christmas and I'm performing in front of homeless people.
Right. That's good.
The homeless people had the cameras filming you?
Oh, yeah.
Homeless people have cameras. It's interesting.
Good. They got laptops. They're logging in at Starbucks all day.
I said, this homeless guy asked me for money, and I was like, I don't have any money. I use my card now, and he had a little machine for me to wipe my card. I'm not even joking. That really happened.
No.
He had a PayPal account.
And he pulled his penis out, and I was like, that's Felipe's act, and he started recording it.
You know what's funny, man? You play a lot of homeless guy in cartoons.
Excuse me?
You play a lot of homeless guy in cartoons. Weren't you a homeless guy in Life and Times
of Tim? I did play a homeless guy in Life and Times of Tim.
And your voice sounded like a homeless guy for TV. Hey,
yeah, man. It was perfect. I said to Steve, do you want me to change my voice? He goes, no, that's perfect. It was very. I heard a video of me as a kid. I literally sound like one of the kids from Jaws 1. Like, hey, Dad, we want to go in the water. Like, oh, the pond is for old ladies, Dad.
Give us a Brooklyn accent.
I think I'm doing it. I think this is it. But we all have a version of Brooklyn accents, the three of us.
Yo!
Just different neighborhoods. What's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
You know, I have maybe such self-hatred because when I talk to some friends that have the accent, when I hear how I talk, it annoys me. I saw it. It bothers me, but that's how I talk.
I saw it, yeah.
I'm the same way.
You get annoyed when you hear stuff that sounds like you?
Well, after people point it out, but it's amazing how when you leave and you be here for 14 years, how people can still pick it out, you know? And I hate the sounds like I'm name-dropping. Maybe I am. But when I did Mad Men, I got hired because of my voice. The guy, he's like, I want you to, you've been hiding it for 14 years. I want it out. And I was like, I don't know if I can. He was like, no, I want you to be more New York. Like, that's why I'm giving you the part. I'm like, all right. But the more I try, the more cartoonish his fucking sounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, whenever I read for dumb Italians, it bothers the shit out of me. You know, like, hey, with Joey Mook, come on, we just want to get some fucking lasagna. Come on, what's the matter with you? I don't like reading that shit. Do you like it when you read really typical Mexican shit?
Can you add more marinara sauce to that line, please?
Come on, can we have a little more bolognese?
Do you get that?
Yes.
Can you add a little bit more? It's just silly.
Yeah,
to it.
Awful. Uh-huh. I read for an Italian comic, and it was all big Italian jokes. I didn't like it. The minute I get there, I don't like it.
I've done it where I've had
You played Italian mobster too, right?
Oh, yeah. I've had a few jobs where I get hired. One voiceover, they go, we like what you did, but don't do the New York accent. They thought it's like I made a choice. Yeah. Like I'm an animation guy. They go, oh, it's a good character, but tell them not to do the New York accent.
Sorry, yeah.
And I went to this commercial, and they keep telling me, they're going over, like, correcting me to not sound so New Yorkish.
Right.
Going, well, why'd you hire me? It's like they hired Schwarzenegger or Pele, you know, and they have the consultant telling him how to say words. Like, they kept coming up to me, don't say sore, say, yeah.
That's yeah, like when I read for Focus, that movie Focus,
right.
I read for the part of his sidekick, the guy who got it actually looked just like me, but uglier.
Uh-huh.
He has curly hair, beard, same thing, chubby, just shorter.
What's Focus again?
I don't know, some movie that bombed with Will Smith.
Oh.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah,
and I remember the lady when I read it because they get a callback.
Oh I know that one. That's the guy from he was in the Ben Stiller movie where he travels the country. You know, the daydreaming guy.
Yeah,
you know, Walter Mitty.
Yeah.
He's in Walter Mitty. That guy.
Yeah, and he's
a lot better looking than that.
And he's in that movie Casa de mi Padre, the cowboy.
There's no reason to curse.
Yeah, and then the guy goes Well, they're not looking for a guy from East LA. And I first telling that lady, well, maybe he traveled.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a well-traveled guy from East LA who got connected with these mobsters because he's a bad motherfucker, man.
Is that guy Mexican, that guy?
No. He's Peruvian.
Yeah, he looks like something. Yeah, something South American.
He looks like something that could play everything.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they want.
Yeah.
It's like, you just give him a color so it shuts him up.
Yeah, so when I read, man, they always say they want this guy to be Armenian or something,
right?
Or Lebanese.
They want you to be Armenian,
my friend. Por favor.
Okay, I can see it now,
my friend.
Yeah, we have to change the T-shirt, but yeah.
That's funny. I went to a when we were in Miami. There was a place called they fix broken phones, and I thought it was like a Middle Eastern place because it was called I Break. No, it was called You Break, I Fix.
Really?
they fix broken phones, broken laptop.
You Break, I
called,
Fix.
It was called You Break, I Fix. You Break, I Fix. And I was hoping to go in there and see this big Arab guy, you know. You Break, I Fix.
Do you mind reading for, like, Mexican parts? Are they so, like, Mexican sometimes that it bothers you?
No,
like
don't bother me. Italian? Most of the parts, when I read that, I feel like it's more Mexican. I read it because I know that I'm not going to get it anyways.
Right.
They might give it to a guy from Peru who sells it better.
Right. Yeah, I got you.
Most of the Mexican roles I get, they give it to non-Mexican guys.
Right.
I don't know, they sell it better or...
Well, they do more Mexican-ish stuff than you.
Or something.
Because you have more than Mexican going on for you.
Yeah.
And I bet you sometimes, it's like with me with the Italian. When I get called in for Italian, like, well, that guy's Italian but funny, and we don't really want that. We want Italian. And you, when you go in, you seem to be Mexican
too
plus
distinctive.
Other stuff. Yeah,
yeah, but
I have that too. Where
they want Mexican guy like him, but I wish he was just 5 inches shorter.
Right.
Well, I have it where I had an audition where they want charactery, but regular guy charactery. Because
right.
I'm right away, you know, there's something off. I auditioned for a little part in Masters of Sex.
We don't want you, we want your clothes.
No, yeah, but they had these weird guys, but they were regular guy weird, you know, kind of the balding, and he seems like a regular guy, then he's a little off. Right away, like, this guy shouldn't be anywhere, you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, you're distinctive. You're not just Italian.
Those right.
Like I know I'm wasting my time if I audition for, like, not that it's around, Law and Order as the Irish butcher.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I could be a butcher, but they're going to wait a minute. That's off.
We want a guy who looks like stereotypical butcher.
Or there's the stereotypical
weird
guy.
Bothers the
guys.
Shit out of me. First of all, whenever I read for Law and Order, I always read for the fat guy who may or may not be retarded that made a girl uncomfortable.
Yeah, they want, or you might go for the part, but they want a guy who actually looks like Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. When I read for fat guys, I never get it because there's always a 400-pound guy in the room. You know, and they're going to give it to him.
But yeah,
and
like
that,
this.
That bothers
you're
the fuck
Sarukas.
Out of me. What?
You or that guy.
Angelo, yeah.
Yeah, or
right.
They might give it to a Greek guy
or
something.
But if you're distinctive and unique like you two, you're not just like the Mexican guy. You're which is great.
You're
to
Felipe Esparza.
It's a little bit me, either they want me or not.
Right.
And when I audition, even if they know me, I'm not going to get it. But they got to want me.
Dumb
yeah.
and Dumber, man. You're great in Dumb and Dumber.
Thank you.
I pretty much know your whole resume.
No, it's not much.
When I get there, like, Fred Stoll's going to be a co-host. I'm like, what? Why isn't he the guest? It makes no sense. No. I'll be the co-host. Let me be the guest.
Maybe we'll have him back.
Okay, you should have him back. He's done very well. Yeah. First, I know you got to go soon, right?
Next week on Louis. How do you do that? Coming up on FX.
Coming up next on Louis. Louis. I got the part because they wanted New York voices. So I played a Korean store owner, and I played a Jewish old lady. And they gave me the part. And then FX said, they just want a regular voice. Because I originally did it like a subway announcer. Next stop, Louis. Stand clear, closing doors. You know what I mean? I'm like, Louis, FX, tonight, 10:30. Stand clear, closing doors.
I
got that by doing that, and I did an old Jewish lady. And then they just want, coming up next.
How would you announce Mexican soap operas?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't watch them because I don't know what the fuck they're saying.
Just coming up on Muchos Niños.
A lot of TV shows you just watch for the tits, but unlike your dad, now we have the internet. So I don't really watch shows for good-looking people anymore. They're like, there's a good-looking guy and there's a good-looking girl in this movie. You should go see it. Dude, the internet exists now. I can just jerk off. Give me a nice fucking... Give me Felipe Esparza in
that
movie.
Yeah, my dad's all about Hee-Haw and Bionic Woman.
When they make the Hee-Haw movie, your father's going to be first in line.
He's be the first guy there. Man, with,
why chechas?
He's going to be the show with overalls ready.
I have a voiceover. Whenever I have a voiceover, I have a voiceover audition to where I know I'm not going to get because Bank of America, just a Jewish New York accent, or they have three different parts, and I just do one thing.
I'm very lazy.
I booked two commercials last year.
What did you book? I didn't see any.
Honda in Spanish.
Honda in Spanish.
El totalmente Honda fit.
Voiceover
fit para ti. Both.
You did voiceover and the character. Wow.
Yeah, the guy wrote it for me. I was the spokesperson.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then I got a Target Mobile.
Do the deep thing again. I've never seen you that focused ever.
El totalmente Honda fit. Buen fit para ti.
I'm really impressed, Felipe. You can rein it in.
The all-new Honda fit.
It's all just a fake
good fit for you.
Good fit for you.
He ran into some prejudice at the hotel because they have this Continental like kiosk with free breakfasts, but it's only for this like teachers. If you're part of a teaching group, so I'm there scooping cereal. They go, you can't do it.
Wow.
Yeah, they told me that.
There's no way he's a teacher.
Yeah, no way a teacher.
Like, why? Because I'm black?
This guy here walking with a little Manny Fanny.
Manny? I know what you're talking
this
about.
This thing. So his bag. He's out there eating, like, eating oatmeal in front of the lady, right? And like, where can we get, where's more coffee at? Then I asked her one quick question. That food is just for the guest. And I was gonna be a dick and then be like 8
rat
years old
out.
Again and go, man, this guy's not even fucking eating, man. He's been eating here all for free all week. But I don't want to be that guy no more.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you want to get your friends.
But I just told her, no, I don't want to eat here, man. There's nothing there I could eat anyways.
Right.
I kept it cool, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the problem is
but
yours.
But I'm about to just go off like I did with that fucking asshole from the Sheraton in Ventura. Fuck you, dollar. You know who you are.
Yeah. You know what I like doing? I like showing up and causing a big fucking problem. When they don't have smoking rooms, I like to make sure that I put on my worst pajama bottoms possible, a t-shirt that doesn't fit so my ass crack hangs out, and then I like walking through the lobby holding a pack of cigarettes, packing it, and just go stand right out front, smoke a cigarette, and walk by everybody, just hurt their business as much as possible. Get a fucking smoking room. Get one room. Give one room a smoking room. Fuck you.
If the window's open, do you smoke?
What?
If the windows open in the hotel room, do you fucking
is
smoke?
Is it non-smoking or smoking? I don't smoke in a non-smoking room. No, I won't do that. I don't break the law when it's other people's stuff. If it's my car, if it's a rental car, and they say no cigarettes, fuck you, I'm smoking. I rented this car. If it's a room, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have them add $300 to my credit card. You know what I mean? I can keep the air going in a rental car. I can't keep the air going in a non-smoking room.
I mean, if I don't care about the hotel room and they already pissed me off, I smoke anyways and then burn popcorn.
But do they?
I didn't.
That's very funny. But do they charge your credit card?
Nah, man. They're going to charge me for burned popcorn.
Tonight I did the, what was it called? The vapes?
That's a brilliant idea.
What would they call vapes again? Or
dabs.
Dabs.
When I did the dabs, I was so blitzed in my room, but I was still trying to hold back opening the $5 M&Ms. I was hungry, but I said, Fred, try to sleep. If you can't sleep in a half hour, and I'd walk by.
Yeah.
I still had the discipline not to want to spend $5 for the M&Ms. It was tempting.
Yeah, you know, those aren't good M&Ms.
And you kept getting free water from the club, so we wouldn't have to take the water from the hotel. And we kept packing it in.
That's nice. Yeah, I steal everything.
You know.
But they thought that I was not, the lady said, that's not for you, the buffet, right?
Right.
But when we're at the comedy club, he goes to the bar, asks for a drink, and the bartender looks at Fred Stoller and tells him, sir,
that doesn't go towards your two-drink minimum.
This doesn't count to your two-drink minimum. He goes, hey, man, I'm performing tonight.
Yeah, he warned me.
He goes,
I could sell you the drink, the cranberry juice, but it's not going towards your two-drink minimum.
Oh, I have that down. Great. Yeah, no.
Oh, it's so Mickey Mouse, these clubs. Like, I can't. Like, when I'm at the Ice House, I ask for my drink coupons because I gave you them. Like, at my age, I'm trying to con you for drink coupons. They look like skee ball prizes.
I'll just con you for breakfast every morning, man.
You know, and then, the woman says, you did so good this week. I'm not taking the money out for your hotel for your extra night. Like, what are you talking about?
What the fuck? You know what I do? Whenever I steal toilet paper from everywhere, I'm going to steal some from here. I steal things from hotel rooms, the toilet paper from hotel rooms. When I shoot on a lot and I have a little trailer, I steal the toilet paper. I steal it.
What are you, Madonna, man?
I was gonna book him.
Is she known for that?
I was gonna book him in a thing I'm producing, but now I'm not. We don't have the budget for toilet paper.
Well, yeah, do you have coffee filters?
You want to announce your comedy dates?
I don't have it memorized, but when is this going to air?
It's going to air this Friday.
It's going to air this Friday.
Yeah.
This Friday and Saturday, I am in Scottsdale at the Comedy Spot. Next week, I could really use a lot of people at this. It's my first time headlining the Cleveland Improv. Very
Congratulations.
Excited. Thank you. First time headlining them. Very, very excited.
You stay at the condo?
Staying at the condo.
Okay, there's a guy there at the condo.
In the condo?
Yeah, a skinny guy.
He lives in the condo?
Yeah.
With me?
Must be a guy. No, there's a guy staying in the condo building.
In the fridge? Okay, I thought he was in the
fucking
condo.
And he might interview you.
All right.
If anybody hits you up or emails you to do a side interview,
I'll do it.
I will take that interview because that guy gets good stuff.
Okay,
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I've done three
improvs.
As long as I can get back to my dates.
You will.
Thank you. Very
three improvs I've done with you. They all look the same. They're all in the same mall. Are they all the same?
No.
How many improvs? Okay.
Cleveland Improv is actually right on this nice little liver. It's very pretty.
Oh, so it's not just on the fringes of a mall, but a giant.
It's actually like an old steel mill area.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. I opened for Tracy Morgan there.
It's a waterfront.
Most of the improvs,
that's the only improv you could get there from Detroit on a boat.
Really?
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about. All those three, they're like doing Islanders.
I got you. There's a lot of punchlines and that are like you're performing and then you go across the street and do your shift at the mattress store.
Right.
I'm a fan of your comedy, by the way, man.
Where are you performing? I feel guilty interrupting you. Where else?
Oh, I'm sorry. Next week, Cleveland Improv. The week after, I'm in New York headlining the Brokerage in Long Island.
Belmore. I used to do that.
First time there. And then I'll
the old club then.
I'll be at the Comedy Cellar, Stand Up New York, Comic Strip, Eastville Broadway Comedy Club, Gotham Comedy Club, and Dangerfields when I'm in New York. And then I come back and have a very big show where I'm headlining the Irvine Improv. First time headlining the new building there. That I'm excited about. I know it's big, you know, it's old hat to you, but I'm excited to headline that room on the 17th.
Hell yeah, man.
17th of June. And then I think that's enough for now. And then I got the two albums. If you look at me up on iTunes, I could always use some real toilet paper, so please support me. And check out my podcast, man. I'm putting my heart and soul into it. All these fucking skits and shit. I'm not asking people, so, you know, when did you start stand-up? And there's nothing wrong with that because we need people like that.
Hell yeah.
But nobody's doing skits for free out there. And I'm doing things for free, and I haven't.
Nobody,
listening.
Man.
Yeah. So I have that going on. And otherwise, I wanted to say to you two, one thing I was going to say to you, one of my favorite things about playing the Laugh Factory is that I got to always chum around with you and watch you perform. And I don't get to do that anymore since you won. I miss that. You're always one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you, man.
Sure, yeah.
You're a funny guy, man. I like that joke. Pussy, pussy, titty, titties.
Thank you, man. I've always been a fan of yours. This is not a threesome body.
Tell nobody.
Tell nobody. It was one of my favorite jokes.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear that one. That's a great one. Yeah. I'm serious.
Yeah, he's got a lot. He's
No, I know.
Yeah, well, he's got new material.
Interesting about Felipe is you were influenced by guys like Stephen Wright. Like he did one-liners a lot.
Yeah, you don't have to be Mexican like Felipe.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Mexican, but you have to be Mexican to buy a ticket.
You
know, no, you don't.
That'd be so weird.
I think in all the shows I've worked with you, there were only like 4 African Americans.
Yeah, man,
you're
there
not
were
big
guards.
With them.
Guards.
You would think.
No, it's funny, man. When we were taking photos right before that guy attacked you inside the green room, I said I was taking photos of a bunch of people with a big line. Then I saw the only white people in the room talking to you. And I said, look, I'm Fred's fan base.
There was the last show, like MILF with her little...
You saw her in a white dress?
Yeah, this gorgeous
woman.
You
noticed her right away, man.
She looked like...
you were in love.
The mother looked like the sister of these two blonde girls.
Yes.
And this guy looked like the Dos Equis guy, like you said.
Yeah, he was like the Dos Equis, man.
Oh, there were three. Wow. There was a little table of white people surrounded. Yeah.
Yeah,
you could smell their money.
Tempe, right?
Well, man, this week, people, I'll be at the Chicago. All shows are sold out already.
So don't
Sorry,
bother.
Don't bother.
That's great, man. Congrats.
It's at Joe's Bar. Thank you, with Mikey O. You know what's up? Thank you, Mikey O, man. You always put a good show. Good job. We did it. Austin, Texas. I'll be at the Capital City Comedy Club May 27th through the 30th. All right, people. June 6th, Egyptian Theater, Boise, Idaho. First time there. Let's see what happens. Okay, man. I'm coming to Boston, Massachusetts for the first time.
How did you say Massachusetts?
You heard me. Massachusetts.
That's right. You got it right.
I said it like a Native American, right? That's the way they pronounce it. Anyway, so I'm going there to Boston, Massachusetts. That's what you're saying?
You're saying it right that it sounds weird.
Oh, right then.
We say Massachusetts. You're like Massachusetts. You're really pronouncing it.
Yeah.
Like you're in class.
Like and his, June 18th through the 20th at Laugh Boston, baby.
Oh, you're doing laughs. Great.
Yeah, so first time there. San Diego, June 25th through the 28th at American Comedy Club. And those shows will sell out before the weekend starts, so make sure you get your tickets at FelipeSWorld.com. Also, I'm coming to the Ice House. You probably already heard. I'm coming back. I'm bringing my own drink tickets this time. Everything's going to be good. Brian Scolaro, what's up, fool? You want to give us a final thought?
Yeah.
What's the worst club you've been to?
Really? Why you weren't allowed to say that? Come on, did you ever do
worst
that?
Condo?
Well, will you go first?
Worst condo, man. I can't mention the city.
I'll tell you this: worst condo I stayed at, Chicago. I get in there. First of all, there's shit in the toilet.
Oh yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
Right.
Hey, later they make his bonus.
Second of all. There's a woman upstairs who's got OCD, and she's vacuuming hardwood floors at 8 a.m. So then I tapped her floor with a screwdriver, and she screamed, like there was a ghost in her apartment, and it made me feel so bad. And that was probably the worst condo I've stayed in.
I think for me, any condo that has a VHS is probably the worst condo right now.
Some still don't have VHS.
Any
VHSs.
Condo where the MC is sleeping on the couch. I've had that happen.
I don't like that.
Where I want to... I woke up in Tucson, and I want... I can't sleep. I'm going to watch TV. And wait a minute, the guy's on the couch. I can't watch TV. I said, you got to get him out of here. You got to... Yeah, so...
I hate sharing condos with people. Hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it. I don't want them to hear me farting asleep. You know what I mean? And I don't want to leave the room because somebody else is sleeping in the other room. I don't like sleeping with comics I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but us three together.
I think we should do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I opened for Felipe once a long time ago. And I bought cocaine and you were like, oh, it's really bad. I drank Sprite with it and it came out my nose. And I was like, really? You're like, no, I'm
joking. Oh, that's right. Huh? Forgot where we were at. Probably Las Vegas.
It was years ago. Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood. Goddamn, man.
You know, I started seeing that girl again. She was really nice.
Yeah?
I remember. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. What, 2000?
She was a makeup artist, right? Your lady? Or trying?
No. That was a different one.
Or a hairstylist.
There was a different one that you met that was. I've had a lot of girlfriends for a fat guy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So what's up, Fred, man?
Thanks for letting me sit. No, I think
your podcast coming up soon? When?
I'm stockpiling one here.
Okay.
For all things comedy.
Great.
So it's hard getting guests, man. So I'm not, like you said, I don't, I'm not going to
have a variety show with characters like Brian Scalera.
I don't want to
just have
comedian.
Take Brian's idea.
I'm going to have random people. I want whoever wants to do it rather than have Louis Black. Hey, how'd your Carnegie Hall go? Everyone's done that stuff. So it's just that, and my paperback's coming out in September. So
congrats.
Just getting right. That's about it.
It's awesome. I'm going to look for your book, the guest role book.
Yeah.
What's up, fool? Give us a yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Is that what Rodrigo does?
Yeah. He was the yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Give us a weird Rodrigo laugh.
Ha!
Thank you, Brian Scalera.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me.